You're listening to Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association with host John Hansen. Today's show is sponsored by attorney Michael Leonard from Leonard Trial Lawyers and attorney Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan. Now, here's John Hansen and Let's Get Legal.
Okay, this is Let's Get Legal here at 112 on WGN. It's John Hansen. Thank you so much for spending part of your Saturday afternoon with us. And I wrangled in two guests to join us for the hour. First, Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan. How you doing, my
good,
friend?
Good, John. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Good. And thanks for agreeing, as did Mike Leonard, to share the studio here today.
It's like the three amigos.
It kind of is.
Like, who's who, though?
John's clearly like the judge. Okay, you know, he's so kind of like, he's in control of this courtroom.
Steve Martin.
That.
You know, I'm thinking about the characters in the movie, Three Amigos.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Martin Short.
Okay.
Steve Martin, and was it Billy Crystal? Was he the other one?
I don't know. I was four when that movie came out, Patrick.
Wow.
So.
What are you
already
saying,
already going to the age thing.
What are you saying?
Already.
Anyways.
That's discrimination.
This is already turning into Hochberg show, but with the law angle here. Mike Leonard, our other guest here today. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
Good, John. Happy to be here. Glad to stop maybe eating a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Kind of get
right.
back on it, you know.
And reason
this
to
program
come in-
of 10,000 calories and you burn 400 exercising. It's not working this week. I don't know what it is.
Is that what you burn when you sit and watch football?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, you get to 400
right.
getting up and off the couch
right.
to get the
to
nachos
get more food.
And
right.
get a beer, stuff
speaking,
like that.
Speaking of football, obviously we know there's a big game today. Obviously, we have Northwestern and Illinois. That's a big game as well, right here at 2 o'clock on WGN. You talked 2 weeks ago when we had you in about the Jim Harbaugh situation, and you wanted to just follow up on just where we are now with that situation, because there was a reset the clock for us.
Yeah, I wanted to note that when we talked about the Harbaugh situation a couple weeks ago, that was the most response I've ever gotten from so many people. Like, that was a great show. So it just shows us, John, when we talk about
law, it
must be really boring.
Yeah.
So we should stick with football, I think, is the lesson. But we had talked about the Harbaugh situation because at that point in time, 2 weeks ago, Michigan had filed the TRO to try to enjoin.
Temporary restraining order.
Yeah.
Don't do acronyms here.
Okay, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
To try to enjoin the Big Ten from stopping Harbaugh from coaching, because the Big Ten had stepped in and said, you can't coach for three games. So they filed a lawsuit trying to get a temporary restraining order in the state of Michigan. And when we were on the show, the judge had punted. How do you like that, guys?
That's nice.
And said, we'll hear the case on Friday. So then what Michigan did, which I think was very clever, they agreed not to contest it. They withdrew the request for temporary restraining order. And part of the deal was Big Ten's investigation is over. So that was a good move.
Hmm.
But the NCAA's investigation is not over. So that whole legal issue is gone. But their NCAA is eventually going to step in and issue some probably major sanction against Michigan. And again, full disclosure, I don't like Michigan. I don't like Ohio State. I went to University of Iowa, so let's just get that out there.
I went to Wisconsin, so I don't like that.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
went to Illinois, and I don't like either of you. And now I'm a big Northwestern fan, because they're coming up at 2 o'clock here on WGN.
All right.
Nice. Against my former school.
A professional.
Bunch of Big Ten folks here today. I like that. All right. It's a grab bag show. 312-981-7200. No questions refused. Although we have two very smart legal minds, they don't know every field of law, so we're going to do our best to help. Or I've actually started texting some other lawyers I know to answer some of the questions that are already on the line. So I want to start with Jim in Indiana. Hey, Jim, how you doing? Jim?
Hey, I'm good.
Hello.
I'm here.
All right, what do you got for us?
Well, first off, the three amigos, Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Chevy Chase.
I was wrong on the third one. Thank
right.
you.
Thanks, Jim.
I was wrong.
Good call.
That's all right. Well, just don't be wrong again today.
No guarantee.
Can't guarantee
of that.
Right.
All right, Jim, what's your question?
I've got a question. I've fallen in love for the second time.
Ooh. All right.
I lost my wife a few years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim.
Thank you, but I've fallen in love again, and we've discussed getting married, and to a big degree, it's true what they say. The first one's for love, and the second one is more practicality and business.
I hope she's not listening.
He did say he loved her.
He's in love.
Oh, yeah, he's in love.
Okay. Absolutely. And, she's got a few health issues and relatively uninsured right now. I've got a great benefits package with my employer, so you know there's a little bit of that involved.
Okay, no judgment. No judgment.
Yeah.
So, what's your question, Jim?
When I lost my wife, I did establish a living trust, and I have my two children and myself as the trustees. And in discussing our future. She knows that I don't really have an intention of making her a trustee and all of that. And I certainly wouldn't make her, I shouldn't say certainly. I don't intend to make her a beneficiary in any life insurance policies, and she has the same. She's got two children. So I guess I want to know if I need a prenup, not so much to protect what I have, but to protect if something were to happen to me, to make sure that things go the way I've been planning the last few years.
I mean, that's a great question, yep, and an important one. And I think if you guys are both discussing it together, discussing a prenup is always a great thing. Patrick, I know you are not a family lawyer, but you certainly know one that we know too, right?
I know one really well. Karen, my law partner, does family law.
Karen Conti, who
Karen
we all
Conti,
know,
sorry,
yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I'm familiar.
Yeah, yes. And she'd be happy to help you, I'm sure.
I mean, Jim's in Indiana, so each state might be a little different with that, right?
Yeah, I think that's not unusual for Karen, though. She can help.
Okay. Yeah. So, Jim, do you got a pen and paper?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to give you the Conti Dolan law firm number.
Okay.
And I think the prenup makes a lot of sense for you guys. And I'm saying that with no expertise in this. Mike, you want to weigh in? Sure. I know you're not a family lawyer either.
No, I'm just going to keep track. So we're 0 for 1.
We didn't. Yeah, we're 0 for 1.
but we are getting a referral, which is sometimes the best thing to do, right?
Jim, the number is 312-332.
312-332.
Yep, 7800.
Do you have to pull up your sleeve for that one?
Yes, 312-332-7800, Jim. Call Karen. And
Saturday night on the road, I'm very familiar with that number.
Oh, good.
312-332-7800.
Perfect.
Great stuff.
Thank you.
There we go. And as you said, Mike Leonard, we're 0 for 1.
Uh-oh.
Let's
what
see,
are we going
to
do? Here we go.
Wouldn't it be interesting if we went the whole day and just got stumped? You know?
Patrick, by the way, is an employment lawyer. Mike Leonard is a federal defense attorney who does whistleblower law. But you guys know, generally speaking, some stuff. Let's find out if we know what Ed wants to know.
I'm nervous now.
All right, here we go.
Thanks for joining us, Ed.
Oh, good afternoon, everyone. So this is a real estate question. Question is, what would be the process for me to get a copy of the deed to my house, which has been paid off?
My guess. Okay. Well, first of all, I'm looking at two blank stares. Yes. Thanks. Sorry. Yeah. No, you're good.
Are you in Cook County or Lake County?
No, Lake County, Buffalo Grove.
Yeah. So I think you should. I mean, here's my guess. You go to Cook County, the Lake County office. They got to have that all
recorder
on file.
Of deeds.
Yeah. Recorder of deeds.
Right.
That's my guess.
Yeah, you might have to pay like a little process. I'm not the lawyer here. I'm just staring at two guys that are staring blankly back at me because they're not in real estate law. And Ed, just so you know, I also texted your question to Dave Schluter. If he gets back, he's our good real estate lawyer. If he gets back to me within the next 45 minutes, I'll read the answer on the air. Okay, Ed?
Oh, awesome. Thank you very much. But yeah, I don't mind paying the fee, obviously.
Yeah.
I'd also Google Lake County Assessor's Office. They might even have like an online way to do it.
I bet they do.
I'm sure they do.
It kind of depends on the county. But every time I talk to Dave about it, because we talk a little bit about, you know, title lock insurance and having the deeds and all that, he always tells me, I think it's the County Recorder of Deeds Office. I think each county might have a different name, but I think that's where you start at. But I will let you know what Dave Schluter says, okay?
Okay, appreciate it. Hey, have a great weekend, and post Thanksgiving greetings to you.
Yeah,
you
too. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
You know who else would know?
Who else would know?
Karen.
Karen would know. You know, why do we have Karen?
I'm going to say
Mike and I are going to leave.
I'm going to say on that one we're 1-1 because it was a sort of answer. It was a kind of answer.
Like Google is a good answer.
I mean, telling people to Google it. That's what great
Mike,
legal advice is at.
Brilliant.
You got two
thinking
legal minds, and you tell the listener to Google it.
If a client comes to you and says, well, I Googled this, isn't your first answer, don't you roll your eyes and go, oh, come on.
Unless it's a question like this, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, well, sometimes people actually get some legitimate information.
Of course. You have
to tell them, okay, well, that may be true here, but.
Ask ChatGPT and put both these guys out of business.
I was going to say, don't say that, Mike.
Yeah, let's wait for
Google
5 years.
No good.
Not ready to retire yet.
Phone lines open, 312-981-7200. You'll be chatting with Patrick Hennessy filling in today for Iridian Across the Glass. He's ready to type in the questions and get you on the air if you've got any legal thoughts. And I've got Patrick Dolan, one of our experts, our employment lawyer, and I've got Mike Leonard, who is there for you if the feds come a-calling, which is interesting.
Or the stateies.
Or the stateies? Is that what they call them?
That's what they say in Massachusetts. But hey, you know, state law enforcement, that's what they say there. But
if anyone comes a-calling and says that you might be in a little trouble, talk to Mr. Mike Leonard. Phone lines are lighting up now, so we'll give some people a chance to get on the line, get those questions up there. I just think it's nice to have a legal roundtable discussion. I want to ask you guys this and each get your opinion. We get a lot of questions when you guys are on, whether it's someone personally or my kid is or my grandkid is interested in going to law school. Is now a good time to enter the field of law? Mike Leonard, you go first.
I say 100% yes. But it also depends. You got to have the passion and the love for it. You know, if you're excited about doing it, I'd say absolutely, right? Tempered with the idea that it costs money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people have to maybe work first for a couple of years or try to see what loan package they can get. But if you have the passion for it, 100%. I love what I do, and I encourage people to do it. And there's so many different areas within the law which are not trial lawyer like I do. So there's so many different things you can do if you like it. So I'd say absolutely go for it.
Patrick?
I agree. I mean, I think, again, though, you have to want to do it. It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. It costs a lot of money. But I think, you know, if that's your passion, absolutely do it. And I would say, something Mike said, like, you think about in terms of picking a type of law, what kind of personality do you have? Mm. Are you a people person? Are you, you know, would you rather just do deals and not interact with people a lot? And so there are different areas of the law that I think fit different people's personalities well. And so I would say think about that too, because that's not really what you think about when you're in law school and coming right out. You're just trying to get a job and figure out what you want to do, but put a little time into what kind of works for you too.
I love that. Okay.
A trivia question for you, John.
Yeah,
what's causing a spike in the interest in law school amongst the younger set right now? Do you know?
An interest in law school now, people want to... no, I don't know.
So Netflix reintroduced Suits.
Oh, yeah. Suits.
And it's gone crazy. Yeah.
And
so
really?
Now people like my daughter's age, who's in high school, everyone says they're watching Suits. A lot of people want to be lawyers. It's kind of funny. Kind of harkens back to the days of L.A. law.
Oh, right.
It does, for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
We just have to caution the youngsters that we don't dress as well. There's not as much sex, you know, so...
Harvey Specter.
Oh, yeah,
everybody
Suits.
Looks like Harvey Specter.
Yeah, as suits.
I was wondering where you were going with that. And
you
was about to hit the commercial break.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone line here. We got two good questions. Tom calling us from over the curtain, the cheese curtain in Milwaukee. Tom, I mean that lovingly. How are you doing, my friend?
Pretty good. I had a question about a car accident. I was in earlier this past summer, and I was off work for about 3 months. I'm getting back to work now. But there's some medical bills, too, for physical therapy and the foot doctor and stuff like that, and an MRI. And the people who hit me, their insurance company, keeps saying they're going to pay for the medical care and from my time off work. And I imagine, you know, some pain and suffering or something, too. But I'd have to receive a nickel, and I'm wondering, should I get an attorney?
Do you have a lawyer, Tom?
Not yet, but I'm starting to look for one. Is that something you suggest?
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, well, first of all, qualifying question. Are you a Packers fan?
Come on, Mike. Of course.
Come on. It's important whether we give him a legitimate answer or not.
Tom, are you a Packers fan?
Okay. I'm a fair weather a Packer fan.
All right, I'm still going to try to legitimately answer the question despite that. But, you know, no, absolutely what they're going to do is string you along, say that they're going to pay you. Just make sure before you sign a release that you fully know the extent of what your medical bills are, whether you have any permanent injuries, that you're actually getting a fair deal. I mean, honestly, I would say you should certainly have an attorney involved because their goal is to pay you as little as possible, right? And so they're counting on you, you know, sort of accepting what they offer. And if you don't have an attorney, they're going to think you're probably not going to be willing to negotiate or go to the mat in terms of bringing a case.
Makes sense. All right, Patrick, what do you think?
I agree. I have nothing to add. I think that's good advice by Mike.
Yeah, Tom, I'd get a lawyer, and you're up in Wisconsin. We have some personal injury lawyers here.
I know a bunch.
In there. Yeah. Tom, can you hang on the line for us during the news break? We'll try and get you a name, okay?
Sure.
All right. Hang on the line. All right. For sure. Let's go. Patrick, do you mind putting Tom on hold so I don't hang up with him? You okay over there, Mike Leonard?
No. Get some water. Dust.
Yeah. It's the dust of the WGN studio?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much, Patrick. Let's go to Peter now. Peter's got an interesting one ahead of the news. Hey, Peter.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. It's a great show. My question is it against the law, I guess, or are there any problems if somebody has a lottery ticket? I'm just making the amount up. But say you have a lottery ticket for $500,000. That's a winner. Can you sell that for $250,000? So, you know, using an example, I would get $250,000. Somebody would get the lottery ticket. They would go cash it in, pay the taxes, you know, the whole thing.
That's,
is that against the law, or is there a problem with that, or no problem with it? It'd be like selling a car or anything, I would think, but I don't know.
First things first, do you have this? Because I can be your friend.
Right.
Like, do you have a $500,000 winning ticket, Peter?
You won't be my friend because I'm a Packer fan.
In Naperville? What is happening?
Wow. But for that amount of money, maybe.
All right, we got about 20 seconds before the news. Do either of you guys know the answer? Because we could try and look it up during the news.
Reading the fine print on the back of the ticket.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's transferable. That's great advice. Yeah, I'll bet there's something on there that maybe addresses
transferable.
That.
I'm sure there is.
Tell you what, Peter, let's try and get an answer during the news. We'll answer it afterwards, okay?
Yeah, there's nothing on the back of the ticket.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I mean, it's just me selling something is what it is.
Yeah, I don't
know.
I'm sure this has happened many, many times. I honestly don't know the answer.
I don't even know.
Peter, we're going to go to Google.
Nobody would even know me is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, because somebody would have the ticket. They would go in. They'd cash it in. It'd be the regular thing as always.
All right.
You know, nobody would know anything.
I think you could
tell me after the news, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're right. We'll try and get an answer for you. And we also have another Tom calling from Wisconsin. We are big with Packer fans here today. 138 on WGN. You just missed a spirited debate during the news break about whether or not a lottery ticket could be sold. I don't think we have a direct 100% answer, but Mike, your advice would be not to do it, right?
Well, I wouldn't do it personally, and I wouldn't advise somebody to do it. I can't think of a reason why you can't. I just don't think it's a great idea, but I don't see a reason why you can't do it. And I'm glad you purchased malpractice insurance on us during the break. So,
I am going to. I know some folks at the lottery. I'm going to ask.
All right,
and I won't have an answer probably by the end of the show today, but I'm going to get one for next week. I'm
perfect.
Get legal.
So, perfect.
And hopefully, I don't forget how to do that. Really quickly, I wanted to bring Dave Schluter, a real estate lawyer, on this show many times, also on Home Sweet Home Chicago. David, thanks for getting on the line for us. These guys couldn't answer this question for sure. We had a good guess, but we wanted to get it from you, okay?
Yeah, it was about someone who wanted to find their deed. It's not even county specific. I often get asked about, I don't own my house. I go, yes, you do. It's totally the opposite of car titles in Illinois.
Okay.
You don't pay off GMAC, you don't have a title. I mean, you only get a title when you pay them off. But when you buy a home for cash or with a mortgage, you actually do receive title the day of closing. It's called your deed. And then what happens is that deed gets recorded in whatever county you buy in. And then the title company, if you do have a title company insured transaction, which is the only way to fly, the title company takes that public information and goes ahead and gives you even more than a title. It gives you title insurance that anything from before the day you bought is not your problem. I would never let anyone close without it. It's a super important thing. But the title, when people say, where's my title? Or your client said, you know, or your caller said, I want my Lake County title. They can order it from every website and it's a few bucks and they could send it to them, or they could call the lawyer if it wasn't too many years ago and say, send me another copy. That's their proof of ownership, the recorded deed. It has name, date. It's got all kinds of information. It's usually recorded within about 30 days after they went to their closing.
When you say any website, do you mean
cars?
When you say any website, do you mean any Lake County website, or there's
no the Lake County recorder deeds, the Cook County recorder deeds? They all take credit cards. They'll charge $5. DuPage County, where I live, actually does it for free. It says, "How would you like to view this image?" You click a PDF and you put it in your folder. But if anybody needs help, I'd be happy to help them how to do it and which website to go to.
What should people call you at, Dave?
Yeah, 630-285-5300. And, John, why didn't you ever turn in the lottery ticket I sold you? What's wrong with you?
I'm getting you off the air immediately. Thanks, Dave Schluter. I knew he'd have the answer.
Have a great remaining of the holiday season that we have left to see you.
You too, my friend. That's always the best way to answer.
Someone's going to say that's a more professional answer than we gave when we said Google it, buddy. Yeah. I thought that was
pretty
solid.
Close.
That was pretty solid.
So too.
Yeah.
I was happy with
that. Wasn't
my
it like answer. The same
I think
answer?
We get half point. We get a half
we'll
point.
We'll give ourselves a half
we'll
a point.
We'll give Dave a point. We took a half point.
Let's go back up north of Wisconsin. Thomas, where are you calling from in Wisconsin?
I am calling from Sheboygan.
Ooh,
all
I love
right.
Sheboygan.
Good sausage place.
I love the cheese, and I love my family up here, but I'm originally from Mount Prospect. I'm a diehard Bears fan.
There you go.
Nice. Did you go to Prospect High?
I went to Forest View High.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I went to St. Vider. So Forest View existed until a couple years after I graduated and no longer existed,
Mike, this
right?
is a legal program. We have limited time
John,
here.
John, we have to make friends here, too, John. Yeah.
All right, Thomas, cut short your answer, so give us your question, okay?
Okay. I'm looking for employment. I'm also right now under what they call a deferred criminal agreement, a DCA. Can they use that legally against me when I'm doing my background check?
Patrick
Can an
Dolan,
employer use that information?
Sorry. Thank you. I didn't mean to cut you off there. Thomas, Patrick Dolan, you're an employment lawyer. Your thoughts?
So is he working in Wisconsin?
Wisconsin is this,
or
Thomas,
Illinois,
I assume?
Yeah.
Wisconsin.
I am working in Wisconsin.
Okay. Right. That would be a different answer than Illinois, probably.
Really?
Because we have very specific laws here. When ban the box, first of all, you cannot ask about an arrest record. When you're applying for a job, you cannot ask about it when you're being interviewed. You can only talk about a conviction after you've been made a conditional offer of employment, and that there's an assessment that has to be that becomes involved as to whether the specific criminal conviction is for something that relates to the job. So there's a whole process, but having an arrest record, you are absolutely not allowed to ask about that if you're an employer during the hiring process.
What about in a background check? Wouldn't that come up during that?
Yeah, but you still can't guess, but the background check exists only after the conditional offer is made. And even if an arrest comes up, you cannot use that for purposes of not hiring somebody.
And that's in Illinois, you know that for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
But do people do that? Sure.
They do that, but I mean, I have a couple clients who were literally terminated after they discovered the arrest.
They had been offered the job, discovered the arrest, terminated.
Yep. And we're not convicted of anything.
And you won their cases or helped get settlements or whatever.
We're trying to settle the case, but you know, they have good claims.
Do you know if it's different in Wisconsin?
I don't know, because it's a state specific law.
Maybe we could look it up at some point.
I will. I mean, I'd be happy to talk to this person if he wants to give me a call on Monday. It's an easy thing to find out if it's the same.
All right, Thomas. Yeah, Patrick. You know, why don't you call him? You got a pen and paper ready?
I do. Go right ahead.
312.
Okay.
332.
Okay.
7800. You got that?
Okay.
Happy to help, Thomas. Give me a call on Monday.
332. All right. Thank you very much.
And if you want to talk about St. Vider, Prospect, and Forest View, call me instead. It'll be a much more interesting conversation.
Yeah, Mike,
much more interesting conversation.
Mine will be very interesting, Mike.
What's your number, Mike? I haven't even mentioned it yet.
312-380-6559.
And that's if the feds or the statesies, as you called them,
yep,
come knocking on the door, or if you are a whistleblower interested in being one.
Yeah, if you're being investigated or charged with a crime or you're a whistleblower, give me a call.
All right. We're going to take a break. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I know we're throwing a lot of numbers at y'all. If you have any other questions, law related in some way, we're going to do our best here on this grab bag show of Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. Let's go to the phone lines, and we're going to go to Jim on Palatine. Hey, Jim, you got a question about some employment stuff, huh?
Yeah, I do. A couple of months ago, I lost my job, and I'll be turning 65 in February. I elected to take COBRA. And I need my wife to stay in COBRA for 36 months. And I don't know if me going on Medicare is going to be a qualifying event for her, because she's 62 and a half. So I need her to stay on for the full 36 months. Would you advise going through a legal separation or a divorce to make that happen?
Oh, hold on. Okay. And I just want to say, first of all, Patrick, what do you...
Can I just clarify something? So COBRA can only last for 18 months. So even if she is allowed to remain under your health insurance policy through COBRA, that can only be up to 18 months. I just want to clarify that. Because he said 36?
I think the Department of Labor allows you to stay on if there's a qualifying event, like a legal separation or a divorce.
Can I ask you, would you only seek this legal separation or divorce because of insurance? Is this what you're talking about?
Exactly.
I'm kind of naive on this, Jim. You've sort of stumped me here and us. Could you go on like affordable health care to close the gap in the time being?
Yeah, they're just not that good.
Yeah.
The programs.
I'd be a little concerned about the possibility of benefits fraud. You know what I mean? If it's not a real you know, it's not, right. not a real
divorce, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's done for the benefits. I'd be worried about that.
Make it a real divorce.
That's well, we don't deal with matters of the heart here at WGN, but you know, that's going to be up to you.
So, I I'm happy to talk to him on Monday. So the question is it a qualifying event, the divorce, to extend COBRA beyond 18 months? Is that's the question?
Well, the question would be, can I do it with a legal separation?
Right. Is that the qualifying event?
This sounds like exactly the combination of what Karen Conti and Patrick Dolan would discuss
next
together.
To each other. We'll just stand in the hall and talk about this question.
Family law and employment law.
No, but I'm really curious. I don't know the answer, and I'm happy to find out, and I'm going to talk to Karen about that.
Jim, can you call Patrick on Monday next week?
Yeah.
All right.
That'd be perfect.
All right. The number is 312-332-7800. Call Patrick, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Patrick, report back on that.
Sure, I will. Never had that question.
Generally speaking, I'm just saying, don't go through this divorce process for this insurance thing, but I don't know all the particulars, and if it's going to save you $1 million, I can't imagine that's the case, but...
And as a criminal defense lawyer, don't be on tape saying that...
Did I say Palatine? He's in Palos Heights. That's
Palos
what I meant.
Yeah, Palatine. That you were wrong.
No, I'm not saying it again.
Well, we could get the advice, and then he could get charged, and then I could handle that defense. So.
Oh my gosh,
this is
then we're generating
then
business
we're
in all sorts of ways.
Yeah, then WGN's
that was a joke, listeners. That was a joke.
All a joke. Yeah. Kathy wanted some clarification. Kathy, what do you need clarification on?
Well, first, I wanted to say that just in response to what this gentleman was asking. I worked in long-term patients that bills per year were $100,000+, and that did occur.
People getting divorces just to get better benefits?
Because if they didn't, then their husbands would lose their jobs because they were using up too much insurance benefits. And if they tried to get care. Hmm. This was before the ACA.
Oh, okay.
And trying to get care for themselves, it just never worked.
Right,
they couldn't get on Medicaid because they had too much.
Right. Kathy, Patrick's going to look into that. He'll get us an answer. So what's your question?
My question was when you were talking about the not being able to do background checks, before a position was offered to someone, I've been a volunteer for the Park District system.
Don't say which one.
Okay, and we had to get background checks and fingerprints
before an offer was made.
Is part of the application process?
An offer. We were volunteers.
Hmm.
So is that normal?
So where in the process were you required to get a background check and a fingerprint?
Well, I had been a volunteer for 20 years.
Okay.
And probably about, I don't remember which jurisdiction of government it was, but probably about 5 or 6 years ago, they told us all we needed to get there.
Mm. You know what, actually?
Oh, so she's already employed?
Or volunteer. It's a volunteer situation. I had this happen at the high school, too, where I helped a speech coach. All of a sudden, they said everyone needs to be fingerprinted. Maybe there's something...
No. That's okay. That's a different... Okay. No. That's a whole different situation. Yeah. That's okay.
Okay. Sure. All right. So everything sounds on the up and up there?
Yes.
All right. Good. We have about a minute left.
Okay.
So I want to wrap things up. Mike, last few words that you've got any... thoughts, generally speaking. Oh, one last question. Actually, I do have a question about what you said about going into law or not. What about someone that is long graduated from college, 10 or 15 years into their career? Is that still a good time, if they're interested and able to financially, to get into law?
Is this person on the radio you're asking about?
No, this is not me.
Is his name John Hansen?
No.
No, that happens all the time. I mean, a lot of people wait 1, 2, 3, 5 years, but a lot of people wait much longer than that. They've always had that itch, and they pursue it. It happens on a regular basis. So, yeah, that's a normal thing, too. They've built up a lot of experience and a lot of common sense and a lot of workplace, you know, savvy. So I think sometimes you come to law school even in a better position after being out for a few years, a little more perspective on everything.
Right.
I have a question for Mike, though. Are you willing to write a letter of recommendation for John?
No, I'm not.
I will not. I mean, the way he runs this place, you know, with an iron fist, no, we can't give him a letter of recommendation. He's going to have to get in on his own merit.
Yes, very, very good. I have no interest in going to law school. I don't know how I'd add that to my platter right now.
You're a busy guy.
And I get my taste this on Saturday afternoons, right? right? There you go. I've always loved law. I was interested in going to law school. I did my LSAT. I'll tell you my score off there. It was really good.
Why don't you just share it with everybody?
No, I'm not going to.
I want proof. He says he did really good. He's going to show us off air. Come on.
Let's show you the documents.
And I'll share it with everybody next time I'm on.
Anyways, I didn't end up going for many reasons, but here I am doing this now, and I get to tickle my brain in law with you guys on Saturday afternoons. All right, Patrick Dolan, where should people call you? Why should they call you?
312-332-7800. Any issues with regard to your job? Hiring, termination, non-competes, any kind of compensation issue? Happy to help.
Mike Leonard, elevator pitch for you.
Anybody being investigated or charged with a crime, give me a buzz. Or if you're a whistleblower wanting to bring some issues that your employer is doing or any other entity is doing that's wrong to government's attention, we're interested in that as well.
Phone number?
312-380-6559.
Well, that was fun. That reminded me of college radio days or the Hochberg Show, Home Sweet Home Chicago. I like the panel of lawyers. We'll have to do that in the future on another Let's Get Legal program. And thanks for Dave Schluter for calling in as well. I know Karen Conti is going to answer some of the questions that we had today, too. We'll always try and get you an answer here at WGN. If we can't do it right during the show, we'll have you follow up with one of our experts. That's what this show's all about.